Well, I'm from the Assembly for Democracy campaign. We took part in an event in Parliament Square, and we had an assembly in March about democracy, which Occupy Democracy supported. And our main argument is, how do we develop a real democracy? There's four things I want to speak about. It's why we need a new constitution, the relationship between the constitution and the state, and the boys in blue up there, why a convention on the constitution is a good way to start, and what are the hurdles in front of achieving a new constitution. So kind of four parts. So why do we need a new constitution? I'm sure most of you are aware that...
Could you check his voice?
Real democracy, defining real democracy, that's a big one. I mean, there are many definitions of real. I think the whole we've been working on in the Assembly for Democracy campaign is where people themselves are in control of their communities, their towns, their workplaces and their public services. They are in control. That's a democracy when people themselves decide what is to happen, as opposed to people deciding for you or a state deciding on behalf of corporations what should happen. So it's about self-government, it's about participation, but it's about having real power to make the decisions yourself, and having therefore the control over all the resources, your powers, your educational institutions, services, the law. Instead of the state, government having it, then people would have it, and they have to be organized in a different way to do it. It could be through assemblies, it could be through all sorts of ways we have to investigate. So the principle is a transfer of power from those who have it to those who don't have it. That's the principle involved, I think.
Does that make sense, then, as a definition of democracy?
Well, let's come back to that. Let me just make this sentence, and then we can argue about, I think it's very important what you ask. But the question is the fact, let's start with the fact that the present constitution isn't democratic. And why? Why? There are many reasons why it's not democratic. I'm sure you know most of them. I've just run down a few. The most recent one, perhaps, is the voting system. We saw a Tory government elected with 24% of the registered electorate, one side of it. The political system, based on representation, clearly that's failed. When a third of the people don't vote, and people are disillusioned by the fact they can't find anything positive to vote for, or they're voting against something rather than for something, then the whole idea of representation, which is part of the Constitution, political representation through other people in central local government, etc., etc., I'm not sure it's fixed. I think it's failing. I'm not sure if it's fixed, no. I think it's a fix. I think that's the way things are, because the Constitution, as I was trying to explain in a moment, in my view, the Constitution reflects the state that we live under, and the state itself is something very hostile to us. But the Constitution reflects the kind of existence of what is the Constitution. It is the rules and the regulations of how the state governs itself and governs us. I'll come on to the state in a minute, but the Constitution, instead of a constitution, is about rules and regulations of how the state operates. And we don't often think about that. We often need to get at the Constitution. The Constitution, if you like, is a form, and beneath it, or through it, is a state and the institutions of the state. I want to come on to that, because I think the challenges we've got are more than just about, up in the Constitution a bit. I think we've got a bigger problem about the state itself. So, I'm just saying, why is it broken down, this present Constitution and the relationship between the state and the rulers and us? There are many aspects. There's the Parliament, which is a toothless body, which is a lapdog of the executive, of the cabinet, and of the state, still at the top civil servants. So you don't really have a Parliament which has any independence from other bodies above it. So there's no such thing as real parliamentary power. You've got the breakup of the constitution in relation to things like Scotland, where the union, which is 300 years old, more, is breaking down. And people in Scotland, as you know, narrowly just missed voting for independence from England. But clearly, as you saw in the last election, that movement carried on, and they threw out the Labour Party, which was for the continuation of this thing with England. So there's a big problem in the constitution in relation to Scotland. The big constitution problem in relation to the European Union, too, where the European Union, which is a great bureaucratic, undemocratic body, has enormous powers over the British state. Whatever we think about the European Union, so it means that the present constitution is not working. Then you have the centralisation of power over local government. Local government really doesn't exist. It is just carries out government orders. So there is a problem. We had a long struggle for local government in this country, and it doesn't exist in any effective way anymore. All decisions about spending and policies are all made by central government. The local government is more or less dead. Then you have this mass surveillance goes on. Mass surveillance, you know, within the constitutional framework of mass surveillance and interception of data that's going on all the time. Most of it illegal, most of it unregulated. So people are very angry about that too. So the constitutional right not to be, you know, have this surveillance is just being ignored. You have police corruption, you know, they have to talk to you about that. A huge amount of distrust of the police and the role of the police, which is an important body of the state. You have attacks on the rule of law constantly, where the government says it should make the law and it should enforce the law and not judges. There's a tendency towards, you know, which is one of the principles of Magna Carta, that there should be equal access to justice and that there should be a law which was independent of then the monarchy or the executive. That is always under attack, constantly under attack now by the government. So this constitutional arrangement is breaking down, and I said the greatest one perhaps is the subversion of the constitution by the banks and by the corporations and by the big property companies. They are subverting the existing constitution to the point where, if you like, representation is meaningless because the corporate financial power, which don't connect anybody in a formal sense, are the real power. So the old constitutional arrangement, representative government, etc., etc., doesn't function anymore. So I would say that's why we need a new one. So, coming on to the constitution and the state. The constitution sets the rules by which the state operates, as I've said. So the constitution is a form of the system of rules. So I think what we need to address is not just the constitution, but the system of rule itself and all the institutions of the state. And what are these institutions? The parliament, the judiciary, the police, the military, the secret police, the ordinary police, the administrative system, the state, bureaucracies and so on. All these institutions, the prison system, all these systems which constitute the state, we need to rethink them all. It's not about having a bit more democracy. In my view, we can't have that unless we have a much more democratic state and a new kind of state and state institutions, whatever we want them to be. I mean, are we happy with a prison system, the way it works, which locks people up, brutalizes people, you know, leaves them fantastic out of reoffending? It's not a solution. It's a 19th century, you know, approach to offending. So, what kind of state do we live under? We have to ask ourselves. A lot of people think the state is a neutral body which we can fix up. I don't agree with that. I think the state reflects the dominant forces in society. The dominant forces in society, as I'm sure you know, are the corporations, the banks, the landowners. The state we have reflects that. The state we have is not a democratic state. The state we have, in my view, is a capitalist state. State and its laws are designed to reinforce the status quo. The eviction plans here are about what? They're about private property. They're about property owned by somebody else, not in common. And that is the state and its laws. The state, one of the first rules of the state, is private property and profit, shareholders' profit. The state invests the shareholders and companies as it sells rich profit. It's unlawful for them not to do so, actually. It's unlawful for them not to do so. But we have a problem with the whole state institution, all the institutions of the state. So I think a state that's increasingly alienating the majority of people, we have to think how are we going to rid ourselves of this state and what's the role of a new constitution in doing that. And what do we address when we think about a new constitution? I think we have to address, as I said, if we don't agree with this parliamentary system, what are we going to replace it with? If we don't agree with the way the police are harassing people out there, what are we going to replace the police system with? if you don't agree with the way, you know, the judicial system works, how are we going to change that? All these things, if you don't want MI5 and MI6, what are we going to do? We have to address all these questions. Because that's where the power is. You may not like talking about power, and it's not a very nice term for him, but we are powerless, they have the power. And they exercise this power through their state institution. And the constitution we have ratifies that and reinforces that. So I think we got some problems and we got some issues. So a real democracy. I think it involves new forms of democracy and a transfer of actual power over decision-making resources to people themselves in the new forms of democratic assembly and democratic rule. That would be real democracy as opposed to the kind of very limited democracy we have now. Very, very limited and getting more limited, in my view, every day. More limited every day. Especially in the last 30 years of this view, where before this globalization period, there was a kind of more democratic ability of government to make decisions for people. Now governments themselves really are supporting us. I think it's the transatlantic trade investment partnership is going to be going. Corporations are going to give them power to government if they don't carry out, you know, the order that is created. So this is not a democracy. Well, real democracy therefore means taking power away from those who have it in the state institutions, which will then enable us to take power away from corporations and banks. Because until you can have a system of rule which is democratic, you can't get these other resources. We can't change the situation. We can have proportional representation. But what would it give us? What would it give us? The same parliament and the same partnership like to be organised. It would not bring about decisive change. So the system, in my view, is unreformable. Now, finally, a convention. Why do we think there should be a convention? So how do we get to this real democracy? How do we make a new constitution? How do we make a new state? Obviously, we need to involve interested people, interested citizens, campaign groups, movements like yourselves and everybody, as many as we can, ordinary people, in a convention. And a convention has a particular role in history, a revolutionary role. In America, they had a convention just after the American Revolution against Britain to set out how the government would be run. And they had a convention on the Constitution, and they invented representative democracy. You may not like it now, but that was where they invented it. So they had a convention, they brought people together in America to do that. In France, after the French Revolution, during the French Revolution, they had a convention. One of its first acts was to cross the monarchy. So conventions are these radical revolutionary bodies. The Chartist movement, which fought for the vote in the 19th century, also had conventions where they proposed that the convention would replace Parliament itself if Parliament didn't give them the vote. Well, Parliament didn't give them the vote, and they weren't able to carry it out, but the thought was that we have a convention which then becomes a mechanism for changing things. So the idea would be to have a convention where we invite people to work out what kind of constitution we should have and what kind of state we should have, and then, you know, to mobilise people for it, because it's not going to happen by just having a convention. It's not going to happen by just having great ideas, although they're very important. In the end, this is my final bit, what are the hurdles between us and achieving this? So I ask the question, will the old regime, the old CM regime, will it give up power? No. Will it actually cede power to a group of people or to a majority of people if they seem to be, you know, more representative? And there's not a case in history where the old regime has walked away from power. Never has done, never will do. So even the Magna Carta, as you know, was a struggle between, I know, part of the ruling groups then, the barons and the king, but it was a struggle which led to civil war, a British civil war, invasion from France and so on. And it was some struggle even to get that implemented. But big changes. The abolition of absolute monarchy in this country took place in a civil war, which lasted a very long time, and the execution of the king by Cromwell's mob army. So, you know, even today, the kind of society we have today has its origins in this revolutionary overturn of society. But what I'm saying is, in Britain in particular, we have a very long, deep tradition of cultures and all the states. It seems to be what we live in is the natural order of things. It seems to be here, we're born into it, and we die within it. So it seems to be the only possible way we could do things. But not many people really support that anymore. And there's a real alienation from this process. So, as long as we accept that to make this change, we're going to have to oust the old regime. Oust it and replace it. And it's not going to necessarily be a pretty thing, but if you want to get the real democracy established, there's not, in my view, no other way it can be done. It'd be foolish to think it was a matter of argument with them. Absolutely foolish. They're not interested in argument. They're interested in holding on to their power, and they'll do what it says. But we are more, and we are many, and they are not so many, and there's a tremendous disillusionment within society about the way things work. But we can mobilize that. Use things like a convention on the Constitution. And start to mobilize millions of people for real change. Well, we'll have the forces to do it. And to remake the democracy into a proper, direct, real democracy, which we don't have now. We can do that. But we can, it will be a struggle, but I'm confident we can do it. Thank you. So,